How hopeful and enduring would your love be described by those who know you best? Look back in your Bibles there, beloved, at 1 Corinthians 13, nearing the end of this stunning Super 15 list of the perfections of love, 15 dimensions of love's beauty and power to transform our relationships, to revive our church, to display the gospel and the body of Christ. We've come now to the last two. Love hopes all things, the 14th perfection, and love endures all things. We live in a hopeless, depressed, despairing world. When you try bearing and believing all things, that love will be tested. The killer word here is all types of offenses, every annoyance, many shapes and sizes of interpersonal problems and relational breakdown. It's not if, but when people will let you down. Love turns its eyes to the future, hopes all things, the text says here. Love says, if God isn't finished with me yet, he's not done with you either. The good work he began, he will complete, Philippians 1:6. Present frustrations can become future transformations. Where the grace of God is at work, failure is never final. When Christ lives in that person, there's always power to change. Love refuses to be pessimistic about people. Love remains optimistic. Love sees everyone else wearing the bumper sticker that says, please be patient. God's not finished with me yet. WIP, right? Work in progress. The same way we want others to view us. Hope is a powerful thing inside of us that transforms our behavior and our relationships. Only hope in God is guaranteed never to disappoint. We don't hope in people as much as we hope for people because of what God can do in them. Paul did this often in his view of the Corinthians. And that's why he kept writing to them and ministering to them and not giving up on them, sending messengers to them and praying for them. Spurgeon says, if you cannot hope that these persons are saved at all, hope that they will be, and do all that you can to promote so blessed an end. Hope all things. If your brother has been very angry with you without a cause, hope that you will win him and set about the task. If you have tried and failed, hope to succeed next time and try again. Hope that though you have failed seven times and he still speaks bitterly, yet in his heart he is really ashamed, or at least that he will be so very soon. Never despair of your fellow Christians. As to the unconverted, you will never do anything with them unless you hope great things about them. When the Good Samaritan found the poor man half dead, if he had not hoped about him, he never would have poured on the oil and the wine, but he would have left him there to die. See, beloved, this hope-filled love keeps people's problems and failures in perspective. Love's hope is never exhausted. Love knows no hopeless cases in fellow Christians and in reaching the lost. Why did Paul keep firing off all these difficult letters to the Corinthian church as the relationship seemed to be getting worse and more rocky for a while? It's because he wouldn't give up on them. As the commentator Gordon Fee puts it, love has a tenacity in the present, buoyed up by its absolute confidence in the future, that enables it to live in every kind of circumstance and continually pour itself out on behalf of others. Paul's own ministry was a perfect example of such love. Ask yourself, beloved, do I believe the best of others and hope the best for others? If not, why not? How can I learn to love more in this way? Who will I ask to hold me accountable to love more like this? And now, the 15th and final perfection of love, the more excellent way. Look at the text there. Love endures all things. Spurgeon said, what? Will you do me a further unkindness? I will oppose you by doing you a greater kindness than before. You said a vile thing about me? I will not hear it. And if it's possible, I'll say a kind thing of you. I'll cover you up with hot coals till I melt you. I will war against you with flames of love until your anger is consumed. I'll master you by being kinder to you than you have been unkind to me. What hosts of misrepresentations and unkindnesses there are. But if you go on to be a true Christian, you must endure all these. If you have to deal with people who will put up with nothing from you, take care to be doubly patient with them. We're back full circle to where we started in the very first attribute of love in verse 4. Love is patient. Love has a long fuse, long shelf life. It hangs in there, stays relevant, never dials out, never gives up. Love endures. Hupomene, the Greek word, compound word to bear up under. It had a military background. It's supporting the soldier in the face of violent suffering. It's persevering amidst opposition. It's an aggressive endurance, you could say, not passive or defeated, but triumphantly enduring in the face of every foe. How, you say, how? It's because of our ultimate hope in the restoration of all things, the final triumph of love when Christ returns. Love endures through all the challenges of this life and finds itself alive and well in all the ages to come, someone has said. Love persists in a hostile world and awaits the coming of the Lord. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, Proverbs 17:17. Do our friends and fellow church members know that we will still love them when they're nice and when they're nasty? Whether they're rich or poor, healthy or sick, strong or weak, young or old, up or down, love never fails. Have you noticed, beloved, how time and trials have a sifting effect in finding out who our true friends are, those that stick around while others disappear? Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find? Often this is where the battle is won or lost in our microwave, instant everything age of short-lived relationships. We ought to be those who last. Christian love perseveres no matter when, who, or where. It never gives up, quits, or dies. Love lasts. Love is not something you fall into or fall out of. It knows no seasons or mood swings. It's predictable. When you're around a loving person like this, you don't have to wonder, am I in their good books today or this month or this year or not? Will it be sunshine or stormy weather today? Which way will the wind be blowing? No, not so with godly love. Love never fails. God's children may crowd to him and say, how long? But may we never say to one another, too long. Love knows no time limits. The classic Old Testament illustration, loyal love, is Jonathan and David, right? 1 Samuel, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. He pledged his undying love to him, so much so that he gave him his own armor, surrendered his princely right that Jonathan had to the throne and the kingship, and risked his own life repeatedly for David. What a lesson there is for us here in how we love. I remember if you were with Antioch in the early days, how Auntie Betty cared for Uncle Ray so selflessly and faithfully, and then ended up even dying before Uncle Ray, laying her life down in her love for her husband. But this is a Christian love, not just in the biological family, but even more in the family of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water, unless it's the water of the new birth. Are you willing, friend, to let God fill you with a supernatural, unstoppable love, a love that will endure the worst hardships, the deepest heartaches from others without becoming hardened or isolated or unloving or withdrawing and turning inward? There's nothing that Christian love cannot face. As Strzok puts it, love generates the faith, love, hope, and endurance to persevere through a lifetime of problems. Spurgeon vividly portrays love's tenacity. No sooner is love born, he says, than she finds herself at war. Everything is against her, for the world is full of envy and hate and ill will. I would warn the most loving heart that they have entered upon a war for peace, a strife for love. They are born to hate hatred and to contend against contention. He says, love is like the lily among the thorns, the child among the wolves. Love must expect many difficulties. Otherwise, why would Paul say all the things he says here and say it four times? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love faces enemies on all sides. The flesh, the world, the devil all threaten us to stop loving. So we have to join this great crusade and fight in a mighty army and win the war of love. You can't find a life of greater purpose and impact than that kind of Christ-like love. Christ himself, who modeled this. Christ bears all things. Christ believes all things. Christ hopes all things. Christ endures all things. Love is invincible, don't you see, beloved? Unconquerable, because Christ enables love. Christ was love incarnate. Love died, love rose, and love reigns at the Father's right hand, and love will come again and reign upon this earth once and for all. To say, I love you, is to say, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit's empowering, you can count on me. 15 perfections and 15 attributes of an unfailing, constant, supernatural, gospel-produced love. Really, 1 Corinthians 13, and this list here in verses 4 to 7, and these 15 perfections are a test of whether you're saved or not. The saved person hears this chapter and is greatly convicted and says, oh Lord, I have so far to go, but I do love and I'm growing in these things, and you're at work in me by your Spirit. I'm definitely not the selfish person I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Glory to God, this love could never have come from me. Only the hand that made the heavens could do this in me and make me love like this and teach me to keep loving more, Lord. But the lost person, they hear a chapter like 1 Corinthians 13 and they say, no thanks, not for me. Or, boy, I would love to love like that. I can imagine the good that would do to all my relationships, but to do that, I'm going to have to become a new person. I'll have to be born again because the old me could never love like that. And so we plead with them, repent and be saved. Turn to Christ and let his love transform your love. One last Spurgeon quote. Love sucks her life from the wounds of Christ. Love can bear, believe, hope, and endure because Christ has borne and believed and hoped and endured for her. Love makes us love. Love bought us and sought us and brought us to the Savior's feet. And it shall from now on lead us to deeds which otherwise would be impossible. You've heard of men sometimes in a mad fit doing things that ordinary flesh and blood could never have performed. Oh, he says, to be distracted from selfishness by the love of Christ and maddened into self-oblivion by a supreme passion for the crucified. Amen and amen.